Upheaval, Reckoning, Chapter 7, Divided Feelings. To walk the halls of Fangbreaker Fortress again was a triumph in itself for Vanguard Clash. It didn't matter that many of the walls were still covered in woven graffiti. This was his home, more so than the house he was born in back at Bastion City. He hoped that his quarters had not been heavily vandalized. He remembered seeing the look on one infantry captain's face when he discovered that his quarters had been converted into a latrine. Vanguard's destination wasn't his room for now. He descended the stairs to the dungeons, one of the first few sections of the fortress that the Legion had operational after reclaiming the fort. The battle to secure Fangbreaker had concluded quickly after Nightmare Moon's disappearance. The sight of their moon shadow being blasted by light so soon after their army had been decimated by a similar spell all but crushed the woven defenders' morale. What followed was more of a slaughter than a proper battle. The Legion smashed the woven resistance into isolated pockets within the fort, then systematically crushed those pockets. Vanguard kept his new squad out of most of the fighting. When Twilight Sparkle disappeared and the jewelry shattered, most of the fight had been knocked out of them anyway. He had been busy searching for their missing friend, a fruitless search in the end. A pair of guards stood in front of the main entrance to the dungeons. They were the first of the several pairs assigned to guard the two prisoners that the Legion made during Fangbreaker's reclamation. Both saluted when Vanguard approached.
"I want to talk with the prisoner," he said.
"Of course, Captain Clash," one of them replied.
He opened the door and stepped inside. Echoing the same principle behind Bastion City's prison, Fangbreaker's dungeons were small for its population. Vanguard walked through the torchlit corridor and passed by two pairs of guards. At the second corridor, he finally came upon the cell of one of the fort's two prisoners. Two more guards stood by the cell. He looked at these ones closely, taking note of the damage on their plated barding. One guard's chamberon was severely dented inward. Vanguard could see some blood from beneath the plating. The other guard's chest plate was badly dented as well.
"How's the prisoner?" he asked.
"Still alive, sir,"
the guard with the dented chamberon mumbled. The way the guard spoke only confirmed what Vanguard had guessed. The guard was talking through a missing tooth and a swollen cheek.
"I want to speak to her alone," he said.
The two guards looked at each other.
I don't know, sir. She was a member of your..."
"The two of you have already taken some liberties with a pony who almost burnt my face off," Vanguard said. "I'm sure you can grant me that opportunity as well."
Both guards blanched at his hardened stare.
"Just a few minutes."
Both of them left the hall and closed the door behind them. Once they were gone, Vanguard stepped closer and peered between the tempered steel bars. After she surrendered to the same scouts that had found Twilight Sparkle, Pyavella had been thrown into the dungeons to await punishment. There was no doubting the sort of penalty she was going to get. Indeed, the only reason why she was still alive was because she was to be executed before the prince.
"Come to gloat,"
Pyavella asked in a weak and ragged voice. It was difficult to make her out in the flickering light, but Vanguard saw the heavy shackles that bound her legs. She dragged herself closer to the cell's door. Her left eye had swollen shut, while her right was only a little better. She was bleeding from her nose, from a split lower lip, and from a long gash across her forehead. She wore the steel of a hornlock and the disruptor crystal embedded in the band glimmered pink. Though it hardly mattered, Vanguard felt a little glad that they had a hornlock in supply. He doubted that Pyavella would have attempted to blast her way out of prison if they didn't. Without it, however, the Legion would have been forced to saw off her horn.
"Why should I gloat?" he asked. "You got everything you wanted, Pyre. The barrier is down and the Chosen are being drafted. Oh, and hundreds of ponies are dead. Just as you planned. I'm surprised you're not dancing in your cell."
Pyre dragged herself to her hoofs and walked closer. The chains around her legs jangled heavily.
"Those deaths were a necessary sacrifice, Vanguard," she replied. "I didn't want them, and I certainly didn't plan them."
But they're there, aren't they?
Vengard snapped. He removed his chamberon and moved until his head was touching the bars.
What do you do with that fact now that your cause is over?
I'm going to die, Vengard. Parvella snarled. She pressed her face against the bars. It was as close as she could get to bring her head against his. I'm going to hang in front of the Legion and die. What else do you want from me?
How about regret or fear? Anything besides your high and mighty, inconsolable, self-righteous anger.
The two of them fell silent. With their faces so close together, Vengard did not doubt that Pyre could see the burn that marred one side of his face. Some fur was beginning to grow on the spot again, but the area was still discolored. In return, he could pick out each bruise on her face. He could smell blood whenever she exhaled. A minute passed before Pyre broke the silence.
I don't feel any regret in turning Fangbreaker over to the Woven, she said. Maybe responsibility, but not regret. I'd do it all over again if I have to.
Then you're already dead, Pyre,
Vengard growled.
Your execution's just a formality. Your cause killed and ate you long before the guards dragged you into the cell.
He was about to turn away, but the sudden softening in Pyre's gaze held him fast. She raised a hoof to touch his face, and he let her.
That's almost true, Pyre said softly. But I do regret something.
She ran her hoof across Vengard's burn.
I should have never struck you, Vengard. I'm sorry.
Vengard closed his eyes. For a moment he was a colt again, sitting in an alley and tending to his bruises while the local gang of bullies dragged themselves out of sight. There was Pyre Vella right in front of him, grinning ear to ear and pressing a damp handkerchief to his face. 2-6, and they still came out winners. Then he opened his eyes, and he was a legionnaire once more, standing in Fangbreaker's dungeons and talking to a condemned criminal. It was just the two of them here, and they had both come out losers. He held Pyre's hoof briefly, then set it aside.
The burn will heal, Pyre. Soon I'll look in a mirror and find it gone, but you'll still be dead.
Pyre smiled wearily, stepped away from the bars and lay on the floor.
True, she said. But you'll have others with you by then, Vengard. You already do, right?
There wasn't anything else to say. Vengard watched Pyre Vella settle down for a moment longer, then turned around.
Goodbye, Pyre, he said.
Goodbye, Vengard, Pyre Vella replied.
Vengard opened the door that led out of that wing of the dungeon. As the two guards walked in, he grabbed the both of them by their chest plates.
If I see any new injuries on her by morning, I will murder the both of you in your sleep, he growled. You won't be the first ones.
He shoved them aside and left. The dark, dreary atmosphere was starting to bear heavily down on him. He needed something to stave off the awful mood. He had considered going over to visit Blademane, but he changed his mind. The stallion had nothing to say to him, and he had nothing to say to that stallion either. It had only been a couple of hours since the scouts found Twilight and Pyre and brought them back to the fortress, making it close to midnight. Rather than sleep, the forces that reclaimed Fangbreaker were still out celebrating. Vengard decided to join in. A party was no place for full plate, so he had made a quick stop by his old quarters to remove his barding. Several bonfires burned brightly while groups of ponies danced away around them. Vengard scanned the courtyard until he found Scarlet Rabbit, who was shouting over the crowd and waving a bottle in one hoof. Scarlet noticed him as well and flew over.
"Hey, Captain, ready to join the party now?"
Scarlet asked.
"They found a bunch of barrels of booze that the Wolven hadn't touched. Can you believe it?"
He guzzled the bottle he was holding and let out an excited yell towards the celebrations. Applejack heard Scarlet's yell and glanced towards his direction. To her delight, she also spotted Vengard, who, surprisingly, was out of his barding. She walked over to talk to him. Scarlet flew off, leaving Vengard to focus his attention on her.
"Still up, Applejack?" he asked.
"I didn't want to be a party pooper and go off to sleep while every pony's so happy," Applejack replied.
She looked over to the celebrating crowd.
I mean, really happy. A lot of ponies were crying at everything when we started to occupy this place.
Not surprising, Vanguard said. This fortress means a lot to the ponies who defend it, and not just because of strategic value. How are Twilight and the others?
Twilight's gone to sleep in our new quarters. Poor Philly looked exhausted when the guards brought her back.
Applejack glanced at the party behind her. She didn't mention to Vanguard that all of them were still weighed down by the elements of harmony shattering. It was a bleak several hours for them when Twilight was gone. When she came back, it was an unspoken agreement among them to set aside the loss. For now, they should celebrate with the Legion for having defeated Nightmare Moon again and seeing that Twilight was safe.
Rainbow's having fun with her flight, Pinky's helping out with the food, Fluttershy's asleep in the medical ward, and Rarity let Scarlet convince her to try out some of that stuff he's guzzling. She's passed out over there.
She pointed towards a quiet section of the courtyard where several legionnaires were sleeping off a combination of exertion, elation, and too many drinks. Vanguard smiled a bit.
You really did keep tabs on all of them, didn't you?
He asked.
I figured you'd want to know.
Applejack replied with a grin.
We're all fine, Vanguard. You should go have some fun, too.
A look of concern dampened her cheery mood.
You're looking under the weather.
Vanguard fell silent and his expression darkened. He seemed to notice this, however, and forced the smile to stay. Applejack wasn't buying it for a second.
You need to talk about something? She asked.
Vanguard didn't answer for some time.
Over a drink, perhaps. He said.
Sure, just not whatever Scarlet's drinking.
They headed over to the stack of barrels that the Legionnaires had brought out. One pony was in charge of refilling marks as they came, while a pair was tasked with keeping the more inebriated ponies from making off with entire barrels.
You're in luck,
the pony in charge said as he handed both of them a full mug. This is the last of the good stuff. The next pony gets a mug of Stormbrew's passable if you're wasted enough, swell. With their drinks in hoof, Vanguard and Applejack settled down by one side of the courtyard.
So what's bothering you? Applejack asked.
Vanguard took a sip from his mug.
I just came from visiting Pyre Valor, he said.
Applejack recognized the name. That was mostly because Twilight had mentioned it several times. All she really knew about Pyre Valor was that she was a pony that Nightmare Moon had possessed. She was once a member of Vanguard's squad, and that Twilight really, really didn't like her. As a good friend, Applejack was inclined to share in Twilight's animosity towards the other unicorn. If that wasn't enough of a reason to dislike Pyre Valor, there was also her betrayal of the Legion, beating up Twilight, and burning Vanguard's face. Ever since Sakura, Applejack had never disliked a pony before meeting them. Pyre Valor was proving more and more to be the exception. The lack of any anger or hate in Vanguard's tone when referring to the unicorn was a little troubling.
So what happened? She asked.
Nothing, Vanguard replied. I don't know what I was even expecting. She wasn't the least bit remorseful for what she had done to the Legion, and even if she was, I wouldn't have been able to forgive her anyway.
Sounds like the two of you were friends, Applejack said.
The boldness of her words surprised her. She glanced worriedly at Vanguard, hoping that she hadn't offended him.
We were. I think we still are, and I don't know if that's good or bad.
Vanguard took another sip from his drink.
As ridiculous as it seems, she now has me considering things I shouldn't be.
And a crime to be just thinking of things, Applejack said. What were you thinking about?
Before you all came here, Pyre asked me to help her with her plans against the Legion. I refused, and she burned me. Now I can't help but think that I failed her as a friend by not supporting her, even if I knew she was wrong.
If you went and helped her...
Applejack's voice trailed off, and she felt her throat go dry. Flustered, she took a large gulp from her mug and winced at the electric shock. She tried to think of what would have happened to her and her friends if Vanguard hadn't been there during their fateful arrival.
If you'd done that, I'd be dead. We'd all be dead.
Vanguard lowered his mug and looked at Applejack.
Would things really be that dire?
You're darn tootin' that way. That wolven would have torn Twilight's face off, and we'd all followed. None of us would have made it out of here without your help.
Except that none of you would even be here if it wasn't for me.
Applejack softened her tone.
I'm no good with these messy friendship troubles. I don't study a day in a day out like Twilight used to do, and I wouldn't know what to do if I had to fight any of my friends like you did yours. I sure as heck can tell you if you did right as a friend by not helping your friend, but I..." She hesitated, afraid that she was sounding pretentious. There was no backing out for her, however. Vengard was now looking at her curiously. "You what?" he asked. I'm just really happy you didn't. We wouldn't have met you if you didn't. Meeting you, well..." Applejack's voice shrank until it was barely audible. "It's almost worth getting banished for." She felt herself shrink to match her mouse-like squeaking. Vengard looked at her as if he didn't even hear a thing. And why would he? The partying was still pretty loud, even if it was beginning to wind down. Vengard chuckled.
"The both of us are getting sentimental. At this rate, we'll be maudlin once we get to the bottom of these marks."
Embarrassed and eager to move to a new topic, Applejack nodded. She took another gulp, gritting her teeth and shaking her head at the inevitable shock, before setting her mug down on the ground.
"We should do something fun," she said. "Land sakes, we are at a party and we're acting like sticks in the mud."
As if to answer Applejack, the music began to shift. She followed the sound to a group of legionnaires with flutes and a guitar. Vengard stood next to her, his mug also on the ground, and listened. The ponies that hadn't passed out yet laughed, nudged each other, then started forming pairs.
"Is that a dance they're starting?" Applejack asked.
Vengard bobbed his head slightly at the music.
"Yes," he answered. "I know this one. Snake Dodge. Looks like some pony has a taste for Southern Barrier Lands dancing."
He smiled at Applejack.
"Come on," he said.
Before Applejack could say anything, Vengard had already grabbed her by one foreleg and was pulling her towards the gathered ponies.
"Hey, wait," she said. "I don't know that dance."
"Do you really think I'm letting you use that excuse now?"
Now among the other legionnaires, Applejack could only bob to the music as the dancing started. Snake Dodge was a fast-paced jig of a dance. Some of the more tipsy dancers only got in a few seconds of dancing before falling over and laughing. Applejack concentrated on following Vanguard's movements. Seeing such quick steps from him was a little surprising. The music began to speed up just as Applejack was starting to get used to the movements. Snake Dodge was appropriate. The music did have a lively, frantic feel to it. So frantic that she tripped over her own foreleg and stumbled forward.
"Steady there."
Vengard caught her before she could fall face first to the ground. The music began to wind down afterwards, allowing the ponies still dancing to catch their breaths.
"Sorry," Applejack mumbled, glad that the early morning darkness made it difficult to see her face.
Vengard didn't seem to hear her, however. He stood still and was looking at some pony. Applejack turned around to see what had caught his attention. She quickly noticed a familiar white unicorn with a bedraggled purple mane. She had to stifle a laugh at the sight.
"Rarity," she said. "You up already?"
Rarity answered with a blurry squint from her bloodshot eyes. She stumbled forward, forcing Applejack to step in and hold her.
"Steady now, partner," Applejack said.
Rarity didn't say a word. Instead, she leaned against Applejack with her head low and vomited.
"Oh, for gross! You got it all over my hoofs! That's it, no more boozing for you, ever!"
Chuckling, Vengard stepped aside and let the two of them walk to the sides of the courtyard.
"You better take her to your shared quarters, Applejack. In fact, I think it's time we all turned in."
"Sure,"
Applejack replied.
"Good night, Vengard."
"Good night."
As Applejack walked away, she noticed Flight Captain Tailwind walk past her and towards Vengard.
"You watch yourself, Captain Vengard Clash,"
she heard the Pegasus say over all the partying.
"There are some nasty situations even my flight can't provide extraction from."
The halls of Fangbreaker Fortress were eerily quiet compared to the celebrations going on in the courtyard. Applejack half-dragged and half-carried Rarity through one stone hall after another, looking around to make sure that she hadn't gotten herself lost.
"I saw that," Rarity muttered.
"Saw what?"
"You falling around with Vengard Clash."
"We were just dancing. Nothing foolish about that."
Rarity planted her hoofs on the ground, forcing Applejack to stop.
"You know that Twilight likes him, don't you?"
she asked. Though she still slurred, her tone brooked no nonsense.
Of course she does. He's a likable pony. You like him too, don't you? I'm sure Rainbow, Pinky, and Fluttershy...
Oh, my stars, how dense can you be? You know what I mean, Rarity said. You have a crush on him. You're in love with him. You want to push him to the ground and give him a kiss. And so does she.
What? No, I don't. And while I'd...
For the element of honesty, you have a remarkable talent for deluding yourself. Miss, I can do all the farm work by myself.
Applejack's eyes narrowed.
Are you picking a fight or something? I'm letting this slide cause you're drunk and all, but...
Oh, you don't have to worry about me picking a fight. If there's a brewing fight here, it's between you and Twilight. I'm here trying to nip it in the bud while you're pretending that nothing's wrong.
Applejack couldn't respond beyond a confused look. Rarity stepped away from her and gave her a hard stare.
I'm prying, she said. I know, I'm sorry. This shouldn't be any of my business, but you're making me worry, dear. We are supposed to be in harmony, and it would be simply dreadful if Equestria's fate is lost because of a botched-up love triangle formed by our captain and two of the densest ponies I know.
That ain't gonna happen.
I hope so. You're both friends, Applejack. Far be it from me to decide who makes a better match for Vanguard, but you should know that it's impossible for this to have any pleasant end. As soon as you stop deluding yourself, you have to realize that one of you has to give way.
So why are you telling me? Have you told Twilight?
I would, except that, well...
Rarity's lips twisted.
Well, what?
She's been quite scary lately, Rarity said. Now she has to deal with her teacher losing power, Spike going away... Whatever happened to her this afternoon, making her deal with this might cause something bad. I know this is unfair, but you're the more sensible between the two of you, Applejack. You have to step aside while this is still nothing but a passing crush.
Applejack's face hardened.
Unfair's right, she said. I'm not even sure if what you're saying is true. What do you want me to do? Start giving Vanguard a cold shoulder?
Just put some distance between the two of you. No more dancing in the moonlight, for starters.
I can't.
Rarity's expression hardened as well.
You mean you won't, she said. This is only going to get much worse, Applejack. Now, while it's not yet too late...
Applejack turned around. She didn't want to hear any more of Rarity's explanations. Her expression softened as she placed a hoof over her chest.
Besides, she mumbled, it probably is already.
Flustered and more than a little angry, she walked ahead and left Rarity behind.
"Since you can walk on your own now, I'll see you in our quarters," she called out. "Get some sleep, Rarity."
"Sleep?" Applejack heard Rarity say. "Between the two of you, I think I need another drink."
"Okay, everypony, what do you think?" Yeah, I mean that Twilight seems to be attracted to Vanguard. We have seen that in chapters of Breaking Point. For example, in the chapter where she tells Spike that, well, she's working on a friendship thesis and has observed Vanguard. Now it's becoming apparent that Applejack has also a crush on Vanguard. What do you think? Will this end pleasant? Yes or no? What are your experiences in such situations? How would you handle this if you were Rarity? Would you try to... would you have Applejack step back, step down, or whatever? Or would you try to talk to Twilight? Or what I would do, for example, I would get Applejack and Twilight together and talk about it with both of them. Because that would, at least I think so, that would be the most sensible thing. Sincerely yours, Visual Pony.